The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Any of you remember WWJD? What would Jesus do, right? Back in the 90s, it was big, particularly in evangelical circles, to ask that question. What would Jesus do before you acted in any given situation? There were wristbands and books and curriculum. I'm sure there were videos, if not a movie somewhere out there. And while I had some problems with it, I also think that it fits our particular Lutheran Christian understanding of the gospel, because it says to live faithfully as followers of Jesus. It isn't about a particular set of rules and knowing them. Knowing that I do this in this situation, I believe this about that thing. Rather, it is about giving us the right questions to ask. And it points us to and assumes knowledge of who Jesus is, how he lived, how he calls us to live. And it says, well, just do that in any given situation. Now, perhaps the question isn't so much what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus have us do? And the answer to that is relatively easy. We know from Maundy Thursday that Jesus' last commandment to us as his followers is to do what?
Love
one another, right? As I have loved you, love one another. Now, I'm often asked by youth and adults to help them figure out, how does this faith apply to my life now? As a preacher, that's often something that's put before us, right? Help us figure out how this applies to life right now. Well, it's a great question, but in many ways, only they and only you hold the answer. Because truth is, in your particular life, I don't know. Not if you're talking about the specific action to take or not in a place, or the specific words to say or not to a person. What I do know is that God and Jesus has done several things, at least to help us know what to do, how faith changes how we live. And the first is what we see in the text from Paul, his letter to the Romans. We have been set free from sin by God in Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. Not by anything that we have done, but by the love of God for us as shown in and through the life and ministry of Jesus. So, in Christ, we have been set free from sin that binds us to self-interest and violence and cruelty, set free from those things that tend to lead us away from relationship with God and our neighbor. Second, God and Jesus has given us our purpose and the right questions to ask as we follow him. Our purpose is to be his disciples, to follow him along the way, to be his ambassadors to the world. And he's also told us what to do. Repetition is always good. Maundy Thursday, right? That last commandment. We are to what?
Love one another.
In the same way Jesus loved us, we are to love one another. That's how folks will know who we are. That's how folks will know we're his followers. You can wear a cross, you can listen to contemporary Christian music, you can read the latest faith books, and all of that might be part of your practice of your faith, but how folks will know you are a follower of Jesus is by how you live. Right? How you love one another in the same way that Jesus has loved us. So we know who we are. We are free from sin by Jesus. We are set apart, is the language that Paul uses in Romans. We are transformed by that action of God through the waters of baptism. And now we know what we're to do in any given situation. We're to love that person right there with the same love that God and Jesus has shown us. It's that simple. And it's that hard, isn't it? And that's why we need this community to help us discern that answer. What does it mean to love my neighbor in this moment? What does it mean to love my neighbor when that guy says something really awful to that girl over there? Is it to go and comfort the girl? Is it to go and confront the guy? Not to beat him up, but to say, hey, what you just said harmed her. Sometimes following Jesus and loving my neighbor can be as simple as offering someone a cold drink of water on a hot day because they're thirsty. Or being polite to a harassed fast food worker, even when they're being a bit short with you. Showing grace. Love. Being a follower of Jesus is just that simple. And it's that hard. You know, I wonder if we want the rules, we want the specifics, the cut and dried, because then we don't actually have to think. We don't have to engage, which in some ways I think means we really don't have to change. And I wonder if that's what Paul is getting at with his whole ministry, freeing us from the law. Because it's easier to follow directions than it is to discern the way to go. Because then what saves us are the directions, the law, and it's not Jesus who says, forget that stuff, just follow me. But in Christ, we have died to all that law stuff. And through the waters of baptism, we are freed from that. We are free to live bound only to God in Jesus Christ, to the freedom of love. I'm bound to the freedom of love. That sounds like a song title, right? Or a book? I'm bound to the freedom of love. That or it's a workshop title. You got to get stuff that, it's kind of like the thumbnails for YouTube videos. You got to catch people's attention, right? I'm bound to the freedom of love. But we forget that sometimes, don't we? We slip up. We go back to our old habits. We get caught up in the law of this world. That to be successful, you have to do X, Y, and Z. And we make other things more important than God. We fear, love, and trust a political leader or a political party. Money. Fame. Appearing successful on Snapchat, TikTok, whatever it might be. Or maybe it's not that we make other things more important than God. Maybe it's more that we think that God is only a little part of our lives and not the foundation, not what shapes our whole lives. And that's where we need a reminder like Paul gives us in Romans today. In essence, he's saying, look, if you got traded to the other team, why are you still playing here? Why are you showing up to the old job that you quit? You're freed from all of that. Another way I often talk about it with confirmands is I say, all right, can an orange tree produce Snickers bars? I mean, it'd be cool if it would. Young Mr. Munson was really taken with that idea on Wednesday. But the reality is, an orange tree produces what? Why? That's what it is, right? And so, what I say unto you is, be what you are. Being a follower of Jesus is that simple. You've been claimed by God in the waters of baptism. A beloved child of God, a follower of Jesus. Just be that. Be what you are. It's that simple. Isn't that hard? But we need to hear that over and over again. And so that's why we come together, isn't it? That's why we live in community together. This corporate life. We need to hear. You have been set aside. Freed from sin. So live as what you are. People of love and grace. People claimed by God in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit through these waters of baptism. Given power, as we've heard over the last few weeks. Power from that same Spirit. Sent by Jesus to go into the world and free other people. Boy, that's fun. To name and cast out the demons in their lives. So go and be that. Live that. Be what you are. It's just that easy. And it's just that hard, isn't it? Yeah? So God and Jesus has also given us help. First off, these siblings of Christ who are around you, right? It is a diverse and imperfect bunch, to be sure. I include myself in that. But we are a group committed to discerning what it means to love as Jesus loved us in any given situation. And also to loving you. We are all committed to loving you in your imperfection and in your gifted. Gather together around the Word of God, around the waters of the font, around the meal of Christ's own body and blood. We sing and we pray and we ponder and we practice. And we engage in what is called the mutual conversation and consolation of the saints as we try and discern these things together. Why? So that we might be strengthened each week to go out into the world and better love as Jesus first loved us. And then we come back together again and say, well, how'd it go this week? I think I stunk. Okay, well, come on. We'll talk about it. We'll practice. We'll get forgiveness in the waters of baptism. We'll get you fed again with the body and blood of Christ, and we'll give it another shot. The season after Pentecost is the season of the church, of discerning what it means to live after this experience with Jesus, God's only Son. After his death and resurrection and his commissioning in us and the reception of the Holy Spirit. We've got about 20 weeks to go before the end of this season, before Advent starts. That's a long time. And I think we've almost peaked a little early because I think the key is what we've just talked about. That this today gives us the key to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is the answer to how does this apply to my daily life? Well, it's be what you are, set apart by God in Jesus, a holy people, and live with this question always in your heart. What does it mean in this place and at this time and with these people to love them as God in Jesus has loved me? You do that, and all will be well. And that, I think, also frightens and intimidates us sometimes, doesn't it? It's that simple. Ooh, it's that simple. That's okay. If it frightens or intimidates you, because that's what God is for. That's what this community of faith is for. To support and encourage, to admonish and give a swift kick in the butt if you need it. But most importantly, to welcome you and love you without reservation. To gather every week around the word and the table and the font and practice figuring out what it means to love as Jesus loved in all kinds of situations and towards all sorts of people. And the reality is that this is life fuller and more abundant. This is what that looks like. This font, this table, this word is open to all. All are welcome. And so, won't you come and join us, y'all, on this journey together? Amen?
Amen.
Sounds good. I invite us to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.